Okay.
Jill and Phil. How about that? Hey, it's Tuesday, June 7th, 2022. We are live. Thank you for joining us here on Rucksack Radio, the podcast for Patriots, hosted by two veterans with one mission and 1776 reasons. The podcast that is always bold, blunt, uncensored, and full of red, white, and blue truth. And with us today is a good old friend of mine, Jill. Welcome, Jill.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on with us today.
Thank you.
So, in light of everything going on, I thought it would be a great opportunity to have your expertise on, because you are one of the most staunch two-way proponents I know, and specifically really honed in on engaging women in gun rights and that movement. And it's a growing demographic in terms of gun owners for a lot of obvious reasons. And I know that you've got some bright ideas. And so we want to highlight some of that and talk, you know, through some of those things. We've got a number of things we'll talk about on the show. But before I kind of get into some of the more topical things, why don't you just kind of give us an overview of like what brought about your passion for two-way, you know, other than just being a, you know, a good American soul, you know, what brought about your passion and how did Mom at Arms come to be, and give the audience a background.
I was 7 months pregnant. About, let's put it this way. I have grown up in a very two-way home household. Southern Virginia chick, grew up on, in, you know, farming communities, hunters everywhere. I'm one of those kids that went to school and had the, you know, the seniors and the juniors and the seniors, you know, would have their guns and their gun racks in the back end. I was that kid, you know. I grew up in that kind of area and that era, I guess you could call it. And then, of course, years go by. Nothing was quite this political growing up. I really didn't see it, you know, going into my 20s or whatever. It was like, oh yeah, I carry whatever. It was almost like asking somebody their medical record. You know, you just didn't ask that, you know, just, it wasn't kosher. So, but I was 2016, I was about to give birth and I happened to be hormonal and watching the 2016 election cycle, you know, everything going on. Mm-hmm. And I saw all these gun control groups like Moms Demand Action and Everytown and Giffords, just all these like pro-Clinton propaganda is what I call it now, but commercials and stuff like that then. And I was just picking up on stuff. I was like, this doesn't sound like how I was raised. I'm a cop's kid, you know, and grew up around, you know, I took hunter safety and gun safety in school, you know, and in 7th and 11th grade, you know, that was part of the curriculum. And I didn't understand where the misconception was, like, why is this all of a sudden a political stance? It had never occurred to me. Mm-hmm. And then after I gave birth, it was a couple of months sitting at home. I was like, these people are just atrocious. I mean, they're not giving the whole truth. Mm-hmm. To what's going on, and you know, especially about gun ownership, and it just blew my mind. And I was working for a small advertising firm at the time and just happened to have studied up on what advertising, marketing, and you know, like how people push certain propaganda tactics. And I was like, this is my opportunity to take my skills of what I know and kind of turn it into something. And I went directly to social media because that's the thing, mm-hmm. you know, because it would have been completely redundant for me to have these talks with people in my community because we are a very pro-two-way. I live in a very pro-two-way area. And I just went online to see, you know, to snoop, to see what people were saying. Mm-hmm. And then it just became something. And then around the end of 2017, I was getting a little bit more a little bit more freedom from my kid because he was kind of coming of age himself. And I was coming into this network of people and these, you know, these political type of establishments. And that's when I was like, I'm going to start a blog. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put my voice out there because I don't care if it's like my mom that reads it, you know, at least somebody likes me. But it became something. I ended up kind of having a meeting of the minds with so many more people like me that understood where I was coming from. And I, mm-hmm. not too much longer, I started bringing on contributing writers and we became something. And the whole mission was to do it differently than what we were used to seeing from other 2A establishments. Mm-hmm. We weren't going to push just the pro-gun aspect of things. We wanted to get into the nitty gritty, you know? And so we started digging into the money and, you know, the backgrounds of a lot of these these anti-gun groups. And we do pro-2A, you know, pro groups too. I mean, we keep it pretty even keel, but there's a lot more anti-gunners that have some sketchy past than what, you know, pro-gunners do. Yeah. So.
And you've highlighted a lot. And
that's what we did.
I'll put up real quick just a kind of quick graphic that's got information for those that are watching and want to be able to read some of your, because your blogs are really good. But if you, for those of you that are in the audience live,
I thank my writers for that.
Yeah. And in the, for those that will be watching the recording of this here, momatarms.com is a website. Just get some really great stuff on there. And @mom_@_arms is the handle that you can find her at on really any social media platforms. Except I'm going to take a second here to tell you that you need to get back on Parler. Because it's been all re... It's been rebuilt since it was taken off. And it's functioning pretty good now. There's some more updates that are coming this week. But it's really... There's a great community there. So you have to get back on Parler. Definitely. It's a good place. And I'll get you if you go on there and let me know when you got your profile set up and stuff. I'll help push some of your stuff out, but then you can look at my profile and see some of the people I'm following. Those are good quality accounts and you'll get networked in with some good groups there. But this is where you can find Jill's stuff here. It's really, really fantastic pieces that you've put together. So you've done well with it. Go ahead.
There's
one account in particular that Tom follows that is fantastic. It's hilarious. The guy's name is Chef Bang Adams.
Phil changes his name off pretty frequently.
I've done that. My personal account's out. Mom at Arms. It's Mom at Arms. It's there, but.
We had normally on our show. On our shows, usually we'll do like the first half hour of our regular shows that Phil and I do, just kind of the two of us, our topical, we get into whatever's newsworthy and things that are going on. And the second half is we'll bring some crazy wild news stories that are out there because we need the levity too, you know, and I know people don't laugh enough. So we highlight some of the maniacs out there. And one of the guys in a story, it was a Florida man story. But his name was Chef Bang Adams. So Phil changed his screen name.
Chef Bang Adams.
Yeah, I can't remember what he was.
Adopted the moniker.
You know, actually, I think he was a guy that had been jailed for something related to a firearms charge, as a matter of fact. Wasn't it? Wasn't he like...
I have to look him up.
It was a funny story.
If it was a Friday show, I would have no idea. And I think it was a Friday show.
But, you know, on that note, a levity, because I've got a lot of stuff I want to go through. But so Jill found, she's got a great article on her website about somebody that, you know, one of her recent ones, about everybody's favorite noodle arm, gun. Gun goof out there, not Phil, but so David Hogg had gotten this private message from somebody that said they had important information about the end. Why don't you go ahead and tell the story, Joe? I'm reading it, but go ahead.
So I have a writer who is, we have a good time. We look for, everybody says, oh, stop giving David Hogg all the, you know, the spotlight. But he is so hilarious in his own right. Oh, I mean, he's just, he easy. Doesn't even know it. But yeah, he ended up getting a message from someone who claimed to be Mitch McConnell's aide. And David ended up,
I've got his tweets. I'll show in a minute too, but yeah,
embarrassing himself. Yeah. Yeah. He embarrassed himself. And, it wasn't what, you know, everybody, he ended up using it to promote gun control.
Yeah.
And he ended up just completely like,
go ahead.
He's done it so many times. It's just, he does these things where he likes to find, he's like posting his direct messages from Facebook and all these other places. And it's just kind of like he blocks out people. And I understand, you know, we do that too. We redact a lot of stuff and dact it. That's what I call it. But for the most part, he just gets so hyped up about it. And he completely like loses himself in his own ego.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hilarious because this time it just,
he's just
get you both of these nuts. Yeah, this is so exciting.
Yeah, the second message from the supposed aide to McConnell went on to these bills that they're working on and said, yeah, just get you both of these nuts. And well, David Hogg doesn't realize slang, right? So he's getting completely trolled here. And he doesn't realize that. And so then he goes on.
Well, I think my writer actually.
And he posts these tweets that.
You wouldn't believe
the DM I just got. This time's different. If anybody else close to the gun lobby would like to DM. He thought it was serious. He thought that there was seriously McConnell's aide giving him this. So he's got
these. It was serious.
He's got a million followers out there. And he's posting this. You know, and he just totally fell for the both of these nuts.
Yeah. I mean, just.
Codename just, Project D's Nuts.
I mean, and this has happened a lot to him in the last few months, I want to say. Ryan Petty, who is a Parkland parent,
mm-hmm.
really got him not too long ago. David was talking about how they got a lot of bipartisan participation for some of the gun control bills back when Parkland the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas happened. And Ryan Petty, bless his heart, he's just an amazing guy, just went at him, said, you know, you stood in the way of so many safety measures that we could have, you know, implemented to help and avoid things like Uvalde. I can't say it. I'm
mm-hmm.
Virginian. But I mean, and any other shooting or school shooting or anything like that that's happened since. And it was just, I mean, roasted. And that's what we called it, the hog roast.
Because that's good.
It's almost as good as it's almost as good as watching. No, I'm a mother. I'm trying to be nice. Yes, he's a young man, but he's not very bright.
He's an adult.
No one wants somebody he's to an tell adult. Me about my kid.
He's an adult, and he puts himself
he's
out there.
He's an adult now. But
he's an adult. He puts himself out there, yes, and he's a pompous little ass. I'll say it. I don't care. I mean, it's what he is.
If it was.
Yeah, when you make yourself a public figure, you open yourself
when he,
up.
When he attacks half really the country continually, he's not immune to the criticism he brings upon himself. So.
No. And what's sad to me is that these kids nowadays, especially him, they didn't grow up like we did. They didn't see, like, you know, like I was saying about the gun racks in the back of the truck and not having these issues like we did. They don't understand that in 1994, half of them were still sperm and not like they weren't even created yet, you know, and they are promoting this type of rhetoric about, you know, that they don't understand. It's only putting them in the same, putting others in the same situation that they were in. Because mm-hmm. there's no protection. There's a lot of weakening of walls, so to speak, overall.
Yeah.
And it's just really
well,
sad.
It's all,
it's really sad to see kids like
yeah,
that.
I mean, it's all emotional reaction, right? It's all emotional response. There's not, I mean, number yeah. one, he doesn't have a lot of life experience at all. And,
no.
you know, number two, he's in this generation that feels like they just can emote everything, and that makes it truth. So you, it's hard to reason with that mindset.
It really is. I mean, being a mother, like I said, I mean, I worry about my own kid. I'm glad that he's not to that staple. I hope there are some changes that happen before he gets to that age. But I do think about, you know, kids that age and his age group and up, just thinking that, thinking mm-hmm. that what they're doing is, you know, is okay. And watching them, and I have, you know, and I, when the Mom at Arms platforms get quiet, that's when we are usually sitting back watching, and we're kind of like absorbing everything mm-hmm. going on, especially myself. And we have watched an entire spin of what's going on. They know that the gun control methods that they're pushing, especially the elder generation and our government, do not work.
Mm-hmm.
But there's profit there. There's a lot of profit margin, you know, and they can funnel money back and forth between one another. And now they're pushing that they are the gun safety experts. And this is something through Mom at Arms that I've warned people a long time ago. Like, you've got to watch their rhetoric. You've got to watch their lingo, because they're going to turn it around on us. And what they're doing, it's not the fact that they hate the 2A. It's they want to reconstruct it. They don't want to eliminate it. They want to reconstruct mm-hmm. it and make it theirs, so they can actually
control.
Build themselves
yeah.
within a,
yeah.
these civil rights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to own the issue, and they want to have control of it. Yeah. It's,
yeah.
It's ironic, because like you said, yeah, they've tried, they're trying to put themselves in this place now where they're these experts on gun safety and stuff, while they, you know, blast the NRA, who are the ones yeah. that have for the longest time been advocates about gun safety and proper firearm usage and
exactly.
training. It's, and they can never tell you. I mean, I've asked so many of them that want to take exception to the NRA, you know, number one, what is the NRA's mission? And number two, give me the name of one NRA member that's ever committed one of these atrocities. And they can't do it. They deflect off of that right away, because they, there's nothing they
really,
can counter with.
It's like watching, it's like, you know, it's sad, because I can't fathom how these people don't have that logic. I made a joke not too long. I always make jokes, but they don't realize that, especially at the NRA convention that was in Houston recently,
mm-hmm.
all of them were protesting gun violence. Nobody wants gun violence. Nobody wants violence. Let's put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, no good-hearted American or good-hearted person, period, wants violence. We don't promote it. It has nothing to, you know, nothing to do with our platforms.
It's all gaslighting. Yeah, exactly. It's all gaslighting.
It is. It really is. But all of them, all of these anti-gun folks were standing outside of the NRA convention protesting. And there was cops out there protecting them with guns. And it was just a bunch of NRA people. And those that could come into certain parts of the convention at the NRA, I forgot what they called it this year. But they all had guns. And these people didn't realize they were the most protected
people yeah.
in the whole entire world at that moment. And I'm not even
the people in all of
yeah, and I'm not even that big of an NRA fan. I mean, I'm not,
no.
just because, you know, you get back into history and start merging politics and stuff and whatever's going on with old Wayne. But I'm very grassroots. If anybody, you know, NRA people, I'm a grassroots person. But
I'm just going to say real quick.
They are like,
yeah, just going to jump in real quickly, you know, because your connection's kind of going in and out just a little bit. But for those of you watching, no, I could still see and hear. So I don't know if you're seeing that on the audience end. But it says it's still recording well. So We're good. Sorry, I just wanted to put that out there. So
okay, that's fine. Of course, I told you I was going to bring something. but yeah, they were the, you know, and it's really sad, especially with the shooting that just happened in Uvalde. Yep. Am I saying that correctly? Blonde. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
It really is sad. It's just. When I heard the news, especially now as a mother, it resonated with me 100-fold. I mean, I couldn't fathom, you know, but especially being the fact that I'm a daughter of a police officer, you know, and what happened, I was never taught, you know, I started kind of having these like feel. I'm like, oh my god, you know, like I can't imagine how these parents are. I can only imagine, and I hated to do it, but I imagined myself in their situation, looking for my own child, and that's something that a lot of people on the anti-gun side they don't understand is that a lot of us, most of us, the majority of us, and as parents especially, we empathize with that. We're not out for bang, bang, shoot them up all the time.
Yeah.
We want the safety aspect of it. Do want that safety. And
before our politics and everything, those of us that have kids are parents. I mean, and so that's what should bring everybody together in the same page. And for some reason, we get in this absolutist place in this world where if you own a gun, that means you're a danger and you're my enemy. And it's like, they can't get out of it. They can't differentiate between the 99.99% of gun owners that are responsible and lawful and that the extremely tiny fraction that are not. That are such a small percentage of the overall murders that occur. You know, it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing.
And it really is. And I don't know how. I know how politics played a major part in all this, and that's how we got to where we are right now. And a lot of people don't realize that this, especially the Constitution, was never meant to be politicized in this way. Mm-hmm. It was never meant to be a political foundation. It was meant to actually hold politics at bay.
Exactly.
You know? So it to me, it's, I love how, especially in the 2A community, and it's not always perfect by any means, we're not holy rollers, but it's amazing how this industry can come together in these types of situations. And we can kind of, we're a collective and we really do care about what's happening, but it's almost impossible to get to the table, you know, present what we have.
It's similar to when, you know, law enforcement has situations like the stuff with Derek Chauvin, you know. I mean, the last thing cops want to deal with is bad cops. You can't stand them because they make it harder for everybody else. So gun owners and two-way advocates, well, there's no love for people that commit these kind of acts. I mean, they're the last, you know, we all agree that, you know, these people shouldn't have had the firearm. There's other things there's interventions that should have happened. But punishing the whole, you know, a whole apple again because of that bad spot isn't the answer. But you're right. You know, everybody kind of comes together because because this is when, you know, our rights, our innate rights are under the most attack, and they're under attack with the most ignorant arguments that are not from a place of true history, and that because we're not teaching, you know, real history anymore, unfortunately. So these arguments come. It's what's embarrassing is to see how many, you know, like Biden is saying that 2A is not absolute and you couldn't buy a cannon and all this stuff, which is just, you know, it's so maddening that somebody that swore an oath to the Constitution would speak so ignorantly.
But back in the beginning of his his stint, I don't know what this is, in politics, he was very pro 2A as it was written. He was very absolute. He did not believe in, you know, gun control or anything like that. But around 1994, Clinton, when everything came about with, was it Columbine? Yeah, I'm trying to get my dates right. But going into the, you know, like the Brady campaign came out, A Million Mom March, gun control was the big stance when it became mainstream, not necessarily, because it goes on back into history, I know, but when it became a mainstream thing and it was they were able to profit off of it more, you know, especially like when Ronald Reagan got shot. I know that was before 1994, but 1994 was like the big spin on all of it when it was you know, a bunch of, let's ban this, let's do this, let's reform this, everything like that. It was just nuts. And people got hyped up on that mess. And it was kind of like, did you even read the history of how this works out? This is not, you know, the more you oppress something, especially a right of a people, the more those bad guys were going to, you know, the fungus is going to actually come out and spread. And it's steadily happened throughout, you know, since then. It's just maddening that people do not, especially these anti-people, do not go back to and just look at it. Just look at all of it. Don't look at the parts that you like, because we don't look at the parts that we like. You know, we understand.
Yeah.
A lot of us used to hype up the NRA too, but we, you know, we're getting a good kick in the gut right now because of how they've done things.
Yeah.
But
It's confirmation bias. They cherry pick the pieces that want to prove a point they might make, but they get the rest of it all wrong. And that's why, you know, one of the things that we try to do on this show is talk about the entire apple all of the time, because that's what we need more of in our society. But
absolutely,
well, tell us now. You and I had a brief exchange when I was talking about coming on the show about what, you know, a project, an idea that you have with regards to communities and schools. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I have gotten to the point where, especially with Uvalde, Texas, the shooting, I've been tossing the idea back and forth. I actually put like little feelers out there for people, and I was inspired by Ryan Petty, the Parkland parent I talked about earlier, as well as, Pollock. I can't think of his first name right now. Why can't I think of his first name? I just looked. Andrew. Thank you. Andrew Pollock with Parkland. They have some fantastic organizations that were built for their children. They both lost children in the shooting. And Ryan has one called the Walk Up Foundation. And, excuse me, his is about recognizing behavior amongst not only, you know, students, parents, teachers, whatnot, within educational facilities, in order to either mediate, talk about it, and or either, you know, tell someone who has the expertise to handle it. It's kind of like see something, say something. And I think it's a wonderful foundation, a wonderful organization. It's called the Walk Up Foundation. It was put into play right after Parkland. Ryan Petty sits on the board. Anyway, I got to know him, getting to know him a little bit through social media and all that good stuff, and just loving what he and a lot of these parents that don't hit the floor like gun control groups do, but these parents that have lost children to violent situations that are actually saying, we need to harden our schools, we need the community involvement. So I have this idea called Parents on Patrol, where I want parents to come together as kind of like a neighborhood watch. Not necessarily to snitch, I'll put it that way, but mostly for school and church or, you know, religious organizations, just to kind of listen out the same way, to be there as a mediator, packing heat or not, you know, but has some sort of formal training in situational awareness, and safety procedures, you know, security procedures, and just getting parents and communities involved, because I really think that we lack that. Especially now. I think that.
So is this kind of like getting, you know, when you say parents on patrol, so this is like the parents that are just kind of hanging around the general neighborhoods of schools during the school days, or
pretty much like volunteering. We would, I'm speaking it to existence. We would work with local law enforcement and school systems. We wouldn't go into any type of, we wouldn't want to force the idea, because I know that there are a lot of people. I know that people are very pro arming teachers, and I am. I'm very pro do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. Live your life, protect it. If you're a teacher that wants to carry, carry. If you're not, don't. But this would be a volunteer type of situation where parents would be on guard if needed, because cops are not that, you know, I looked at my kids' area, you know, and granted, I do see like a sheriff's deputy go by every once in a while within 20 minutes, you know, that's a 20 minute drive for a police officer.
It's a long time.
He's chilling at the station and all of a sudden gets the call, you know, but a lot of us parents actually live close to these schools, these organizations, you know, these institutions, and we could be a first responder if we had the training. And I think that we worked with, you know, law enforcement, the schools, of course, fire safety. I mean, just got the training and volunteered for it. I think that we would see a lot more actual community involvement mm-hmm. in how our kids are being, because it puts us parents into the mix. It doesn't necessarily put guns into the mix, because, you know, if you're someone that wants to join this org, and like I said, I'm speaking into existence, you wouldn't necessarily, it wouldn't be an obligation. It would just be the only obligation would be for you as the parent to be there and to be aware. Mm-hmm. So I'm still working out some kinks.
Well, it's the idea. If you think about it, I mean, New York, I mean, was it the 80s when they put like the Guardian Angels into existence? Or it might even have been earlier than that.
Oh, gosh, I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, but it was the concept of helping to reduce crime in the subway systems, which they need again, obviously. But it's that kind of, an organization of well-intended citizens. Acting as a visible, if anything, it's a visible deterrent. And that's what law enforcement generally,
exactly.
You know, if there's in many schools, if there's a squad car parked out in front of the school, that school's much less likely to be a target, which a lot of districts now have gone to the point of they'll leave, even if they don't have an officer at the school, they'll drive over with two officers and drop one squad off and leave a squad car just sitting parked there. So it gives the appearance mm-hmm. of a deterrence there. And so, yes, you're right. Somebody visible I'm watching for you. I'm looking for you. Somebody that wants to try to, you know, penetrate something quietly, at least, is going to be much less likely to do it.
It's just an extra set of eyes. It's not necessary. I mean, I'm even all for background checks on this. You know, I mean, it's just an extra set of eyes. It's a parent that's willing to step up. I mean, back when the, I don't know if y'all caught it, back when all these like social media bomb and mass shooter threats were going on mm-hmm. all over the country, like they were sending out, like these kids were just being horrible mm-hmm. and sending out these threats online. I mean, even though my son is not in that age group that these threats were targeting, I still sat outside my kid's school. I mean, it's just, you know, I didn't know, you know, like I'm a 5 year old mom, you know, I've only been a mom for 5 years. So that means I'm five years old in motherhood. So, I mean, it's just kind of like, I couldn't believe it. Cause I mean, so I see, and that should be something in itself, like all these anti-gun chicks out there, these mothers that are very anti-gun, I see where they're coming from. I am a mother, but think that there is something better that we can do than weakening our system rather than.
Well, how much do you, let me ask you this, how much do you think like the mothers or the chicks, the women that are really anti-2A, my guess is that 95% of them or more are just afraid of firearms and have never held one even, you know, and how much, like, what is it? I mean, is that a fair assumption? Do you think it's, is that part of the problem?
I would say it's over half. A lot of them are, if anyone's familiar with, the VCDL, the Virginia Citizens Defense League here in Virginia, had the big lobby day.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Yep.
We got to a couple of my pals from there, and I got to sit in with a gun control talk hosted by a Virginia pro gun control candidate, Alaya Hayala is her name, the candidate, and we ended up getting booted about an hour into the conversation because we were asking very logical questions, asking this stuff.
Of course.
And it was gun violence. It had gun violence survivors. And hardly any of the gun, and it was Moms Demand Action. Y'all know who I am with Mom at Arms. Y'all know I love them.
Yeah.
But, I go head to head with them a lot, and that's what I was doing. I was actually just being nice and asking like just simple questions. We all were. We weren't trying to antagonize or anything like that. We wanted to get in, you know. We just wanted to know.
Well, a logical question is antagonistic to people that don't want to have a conversation.
Yeah.
So
it is. But we ended up just listening to Moms Demand Action women they pretty much stole the floor. They had no background. They had never been in a violent situation. They were only doing this because they empathized and cared so much about those who had been. Mm-hmm. And that one of them actually said something about being close to a situation where, you know, that just was what made up her mind that she wasn't gonna have any guns in her house. And I was just like, so these people are that ignorant, you know, like they're posers in my opinion. You know, they've never been in any type of situation that has ever put this fear into them other than the fact that they need to be part of a group.
Yeah.
It's a group mentality with a lot of them.
Oh, yeah,
it's the inclusion. It's
the need to feel needed.
Yes. And that's how they
just
come across.
They just want to feel needed and like they're doing something.
Yeah. So it's that whole staple, like feminist, whatever. And if you also know me, I think the feminism movement is total BS. You know?
Won't get any arguments.
Stay at home, mom. But, but no, it's just, I just look at all of them. And that's what I asked. I said, so that was one of the questions I asked. So y'all haven't been in any type of situation that actually put you in front and center of violence. And they couldn't answer that question. I was like, okay.
Yeah,
and then one of the VCDL people who was actually a violence, you know, a survivor of violence, she spoke up and she was like, well, I can tell you all about it. So let me tell you what I did to fix it. I went and got a gun. So we all got booted, you know.
Well, that's it. They don't want to hear those examples. Like this week that, you know, when they're talking about this, I mean, it was a woman out in, was it West Virginia, I believe, that stopped the guy with the AR. She had a handgun who was coming to shoot up the birthday party.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not.
Yeah, she had the training.
Yeah.
They don't, people don't understand, especially, and this is something that really gets on my nerves because, and how they're pushing gun safety nowadays, that they're, you know, gun control groups are pushing that they're the gun safety experts. What people don't realize is that gun safety classes that the military, law enforcement, the government take, that's accessible to the public. I'm an instructor. You know, you could take these classes. no, you're not going to have a lot of the tactical stuff and everything like that in a basic class, but they go through the same training. Mm-hmm. You know, now you can get up to that, you know, if you want to. I don't specialize in that. I like to promote situational awareness more so than I do like mm-hmm. guns, but I guns are always the last resort. But when it comes down yep. to it, these gun control communities don't realize that safety is accessible. That's why the NRA is there. Mm-hmm. That's why the GOA is there. Mm-hmm. That's why the USCCA is there. That's why groups like Mom at Arms or 1 Million Moms Against Gun Control or the DC Project or any of us that are, we're out there, we're willing to give people those classes and that, yeah. that knowledge.
And there's so many, situations, so many, especially states that have concealed carry, which is, I mean, a lot, where there are so many either retired or active law enforcement or military guys that are certified trainers in these classes, and they put these things on, and they'll, in a lot mm-hmm. of cases, I mean, they do them very, very inexpensively, because they want to see people Absolutely. Armed, but they want to see them armed responsibly and have, you know, they want to know that people are exercising the right with responsibility. I don't think anybody's against exactly. that aspect of it, but people have to take advantage of it. You know, that's one of the things, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of the things that upsets me so much is when they say, well, we need to have opportunities for training or we need background checks. And I'm like, I've had a background check for every weapon I've ever gotten. You know, I had training in the military and training in law enforcement through it, but I have taught my daughter how to shoot. And now some people say, well, you're a parent, that doesn't count. Well, does it not count or not? Because I've been very professionally trained. So I it's better than just going and buying a kid a weapon and going, here you go. But these things exist, you know,
the Sandy Hook, shooter, his mother, who he stole the guns from. Now I'm not speaking on her, but she was highly trained and she trained her kids in gun safety and everything like that. And I can't remember a lot of that. It's been a while. I mean, we've had so much going on. You kind of get these deranged individuals kind of mixed up together, but because they're all the same, they don't care about other people's lives. There's some deep rooted issue there. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's always mental illness. In most cases, it is.
Well, it has to be,
because most people who have mental illnesses are not this violent. So something is deep rooted in these issues.
No, not everybody. And it's not associative in a way that everybody with mental illness is a sociopath. But all of these people that commit these acts have mental illness. You have to have a degree of mental illness to get to the point where your judgment is so
gone. There's a derangement there.
Yeah.
But I wonder, I do wonder what seed is planted in a lot of it. And going back through a lot of it, the backgrounds of a lot of these shooters, it has to do with society. It has to do with things like bullying, drugs, and how people are perceived and, you know, being ostracized and stuff like that.
Yeah, parents that aren't engaged.
I mean, all of them, almost all of them have said something. Yeah. Broken families, angry because they don't have jobs or, you know, whatever. They don't have this, because they're, you know, the students in their classes have picked on them.
And that's where I think, that's where the absolute arguments come in that bother me, because I give liberals to say, well, it's not just mental illness. Well, no, I'm not saying that because you have mental illness, this is a problem, or because you came from a broken family, you're going to be a shooter. But if you came from a broken family and you have this mental illness and you've had these tendencies of mutilating animals, and you've been bullied or you're bullying others, if you start checking multiple boxes, somebody needs to be keeping an eye on that. And the person that needs to be keeping an eye on it is a parent.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And that is a very good way of putting it. The check boxes. Actually, I need to use that for now because I know that somebody will get offended.
And there's 10 different, I mean, there's 10, 15, exactly 20 right. different it's variables just, there can be. And everybody's got some of these variables, but once you check off 4, 5, 6, 8 of these boxes, now there's something we need to look at.
Exactly. And every one of these kids that have done this, kids.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, I mean, like 18, 20 years old, to me, that's still a kid. I was still a kid at that age. But, I mean, going down the list and going through those checkboxes, you have, there's something there. I mean, and it's kids.
Yep.
Kids. I mean, yep. That should be the number one thing that people should be looking at, is that it's kids that are committing these atrocities. Yep. And, or young people, and there needs to be an intervention there. There needs something, something needs to happen. And
well, we look at Uvalde, right? And what we know about this kid, I mean, his parents were divorced. We don't know much about the father. The mother was using drugs, not very engaged. He's living with his grandparents. So he's already detached from his parents, which is an issue. He was bullying people, and apparently he was bullied himself, but there's stories coming out both ways with that. He was obviously mutilating and torturing animals and all. I mean, that's like all of these things are clear signs that something's wrong
here.
But there was nobody that was just like, man, he's a little off. You know, well, he was way off.
Yeah, I think that he got into a chat group or something like that with a kid here from Virginia, Northern Virginia. I'm in Southern Virginia. this Northern Virginia kid was talking to him about something, and he actually said that he was going to go shoot up a school. Y'all knew my name, blah, blah, blah. And this kid, this Virginia kid, was like, I thought he was joking. Like, if somebody said that to me at 18, 16, whatever, I would be like, Dad?
Yeah. No, I mean, you've got to report that.
Oh, snitch.
You've got to report that now. There's no way around it anymore. People can't take that as a joke. It's like saying bomb on an airplane. You can't do that anymore. And you can't say I'm going to shoot up a school anymore or something. I mean, and I'm perfectly fine with you say that. Somebody calls the police or, you know, a principal or somebody, because somebody should be intervening at that point, because it's just a place of better judgment that it's just not something you say and you know better. And if there is a threat there,
I mean, who said
that? Yeah,
I mean, like, if the kid has already got some sort of anger issues or whatever, and then he goes online and starts saying that. And that's what gets me, too, is that wasn't he also, just like the Parkland kid, wasn't he actually, like, people knew? Like, he had been watched or something like that prior. I'll have to double check.
Yeah, there were calls about behavior.
There were already reports from.
Yeah, just like everything. In hindsight, after these things come out, there's all kinds of people come forward and with their stories, but it happens every time, and I think people have to start speaking up. I think they're too afraid of offending somebody, because we're in this culture where we're afraid to offend people now, right? And which is part of the problem, because people are afraid to speak their mind and speak truth. Like, this kid over here is messed up, all right? And he needs some help. So somebody needs to talk to this kid and figure it out.
They do it to us now. I walk into some place with a pro gun shirt on or something like that. It's like, oh my God, she's crazy, you know. But there's no I'm standing there with my kid. Like, we just came here for Lucky Charms,
right?
I'm not here to hurt you. I just like guns.
Lucky Charms is gold for ammo.
Yes, it's the Lucky Charm underground.
I'm perplexed. I really am. I think about all of it. And then I think about the aspect of what schools or people in general can do for their overall safety. That kid should have never gone into that school.
No.
That kid should have never been able to access the interior of that school.
No, that was a failure. It's certainly a failure. Absolutely. Security.
And there's a lot of this one. There's so much at play with this one, and it's just all up in the air, and it's just nasty. Well, I hate it for everybody involved. I really do.
You started off talking about school safety, and there's so many things that can be done. And it's not just, I mean, again, with the teachers being armed, if they want to do it, great. If they don't push him. I agree with that. But just outside of that, I recently wrote something and outlined a few things. And one was, you know, we need better physical barriers around the schools. And it doesn't need to look like a prison. You can use landscaping to create a barrier that is enough, that slows somebody down. And it doesn't, the idea isn't to stop somebody from getting on the property, but to make it not easy, not inviting, not a clear walkthrough. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, the technologies now with access systems that lock these doors down automatically. ShotSpotter is a great technology that's out there that's used in a lot of urban communities. Police departments use it now. There's no reason it can't be put on every school. And if it detects a gunshot within a half mile, a quarter mile, or whatnot, it automatically ties into the access system and locks the doors down. And it alerts 911 immediately. Yeah. This guy was outside the school shooting for 10 minutes or whatever it was beforehand. Had that technology been in place, you know, there's so many ways.
And that's what I don't get. I can understand where some of the confusion came about with law enforcement, and I'm not okaying that by any means. I can understand like bad calls and stuff. I can understand that confusion also can come from if others in the area had called 911 prior to this, because that he was out in front of the school across the street or whatever, shooting at somebody, you know, some other place. That was enough time for a lockdown system within the school.
Yep.
Completely. I don't care if somebody, if a car blew up and there's somebody out there, you know, the first thing that you should have, any teacher, admin, administrator, whatever, should have done was locked that school down. And if there was such a issue, then someone of authority should have gone outside, locking the door behind them to figure out what was going on if they didn't understand.
Absolutely.
Why these types of safety aspects are not in play, I have no earthly idea. Like, I can remember going back to high school and bomb threats and stuff like that. There was always some sort of plan to do a lockdown procedure, and we were talking about it amongst the admin and the students. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're doing. Do not step outside this line, you know, whatever. There wasn't like this crazy, you know, like, I got to go see this. I got to go see that. You know, I got to go to the bathroom and look underneath the toilet to see if there's a bomb under there. No, I mean, like, there wasn't any type of nosiness or inspection. We waited, you know, we locked down and we waited, or either we went outside or, you know, whatever. But now what's happening, and something else that needs to be implemented, is that because communities, or because this is more widespread throughout the media, as much, you know, more so than ever, there needs to be a community involvement whenever these drills, just the drills, go on. My personal feelings, I feel like even when you have a drill, just a practice drill, parents need to be involved. Communities need to be involved. They all need emails, text messages, whatever. Hey, we're having a lockdown drill today. This is what we're doing. These are the steps we're taking. This is so parents can be involved in how to rectify what's going on.
Yeah.
That's
the best way to fix things all the way around. And it's the best way to get everybody engaged. Yes, absolutely.
It really is, because we need these practices in order to not only set ourselves up within school systems, but also in any other, at work, home life, you know, you go in church, whatever, you know, we have to do it. And if it were the real deal, your parents are the ones that need to have that notification. You know, they need to know what the response time is and all this other stuff. I mean, because if not, we're going to see another Uvalde. We're going to see more parents getting mad at the law enforcement, jumping ship and going in there and doing it. Because I don't blame them.
Yeah, it's only going to get, after that incident, it's going to get much more tumultuous in places. So real quick, say, if you're watching us live, thank you so much for being in the chat. Really appreciate you being in there. Thank you for engaging with us. If you're watching this recording on YouTube or Rumble when it's up there, which will be within 48 hours, thank you for doing so. Please subscribe, thumbs up there. For what we do, you can go to rucksackradio.com to check out more about the show. there as well, and to support what we do there. You can also go to momatarms.com to find out more about Jill's initiatives with Mom at Arms. And again, @mom_at_arms on social media. We're going to get her back on Twitter too. Or not Twitter, sorry. Parlor. Parlor, sure. Because we want to see, you know, I want to definitely hear more about this Parents on Patrol movement as you get going forward with it. Because I think that that's something that a lot of the parents will get engaged with if they know. And I think, you know, if there's anything I can do on my end to help with that, let me know. But because I think you can easily turn this into something that becomes a nationwide effort, even a large nonprofit of sorts, depending on how far you want to take it. But, you know, you'll get communities that'll, you know, that'll donate, you know, getting shirts made for parents or something that, you know, everything looks kind of uniform and whatnot and is easily recognizable to people. And there's just so many ways you can go about it. So if I, you know, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And thank you very much. I'm still kind of working out the kinks. I'm one of those people that I like to get all of my research, my ducks in, you know, my little eggs in a basket before I start praying for ducks. But
yeah.
It's something that weighs on my heart. It's one of those things. Mom at Arms pulled at me and it became a calling, and this is doing the same thing. So I'm surprised I didn't get emotional tonight talking about it, but usually I do, you know, it's kind of like, this is something that means something to me. But I just think that there has to be something, because what we're doing now is not working. It's none of it. I'm not going to go outside and hold up a sign that says gun free zone and pray that nobody shoots through the sign. You know, that's just stupid. It's
silly. Yep.
I mean, plain and simple. I used to say that it was kind of illogical, but now it's just plain out stupid when you do that. Gun-free zones do not work. We have the proof. You know, we've had years and years and years of proof.
Speed limit signs don't work. So it's not, you know, it's not people. Yeah. It's not, a sign isn't going to do anything but stop the good people. You know, the people that obey laws, we all know that. So, I want to finish up. We're getting close to our hour here. So there's a couple things I want to finish up with, real quick, just some more, a couple things I found online, and then I'm going to have you close out with a couple things. But I thought this one I had to share because this bothered me, this tweet, when I saw it from, George Teriyaki. That's what I call him anyways. Crazy thought, but those 20 million AR-15s now in this country could sure arm a lot of Ukrainians. So he wants, it's okay to arm the citizens of another country against tyranny, but not to have them in our country to guard against tyranny. It gave him he has the liberty to say something so stupid because of the arms that we have in this country. This is an argument I've seen a lot of people make, like, well, we're not in a war here now, so we don't need these weapons. We're not in a war here now because we have these weapons. Yeah, the government knows this, and people know this, so they're not going to act up and try to do something so stupid. But, yeah, these arguments, just the call.
Case in point, this is what I was talking about, people. This is what stupidity looks like. Bless his heart. I thought it, well, bless him. Bless him. I mean, like,
we know what that Southern
was. Yeah. That's exactly right. It's either that or I was something, that other thing was about to come out. But like I said, I'm
just. It's, yeah. And then.
Here to bless him.
To the hypocrisy a little bit here, too, which has come out in the last 24 hours or so. But. This image of Hunter Biden with his illegal gun, with his illegal prostitute smoking illegal crack, and he's got his finger on the trigger and everything. How is this guy not charged?
Oh, that gun. If
this image was Phil, he would have been in jail.
That image was Phil, that black box would be a lot smaller.
I think that New York...
Well, welcome to the show, Jill.
Thanks. That's
took about an hour, but we got you in.
The New York Post called him a son of a gun. And I thought that was the best thing in the whole wide world. It was like the most savage thing I've ever heard of. It's like the President Biden's first son of a gun. And I was like, oh, that is funny. Like,
wasn't it Lauren Boebert?
Simple things for simple minds. Yeah,
Lauren Boebert called him a crack smoking a crackhead Parmesan cheese smoking gun criminal or something in a speech in front of the House. Yeah. So tell us, closing out here in the last minute or so, what's your advice for women that want to get engaged in two-way? What can they do? What do you recommend? Because that's your strength. That's your forte.
Take a basic safety. Just, you don't have to go in there thinking that you're going to go, guns blazing or whatever, but take a basic gun safety class to get the education, to get the knowledge of how firearms and how they work. And then before that, I would even say take a situational awareness class, work on building your confidence, in being out in public as far as being aware of what's going on around you, what's happening. That in itself can build up, just do so much for someone who's a situational awareness class. And I give them for free once a month. You're more than welcome. Yeah.
You posted.
We do it on Zoom.
You posted a really good situational awareness video I saw on Twitter. So that should be your first parlor post when you do it. We'll get it out there.
A lot of people have actually done like that. They have reused that. I sat down one day. I happened to be on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, myself. But I have an account, but I just go on there.
Oh, it's addictive.
Just snoop. Yeah.
You're not singing Mary Poppins on there?
And I saw that video, and I was... You did, oh my God. No. I would duet you. Is that what it's called? Duetting? I just saw this video, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is probably the best video of a unarmed woman in a situation that she is completely aware of. And many people were just sending it out because it was a perpetrator in the background. They're like, oh my God, somebody scary was falling. I wanted people to focus on what the woman was doing. She was aware. She was keeping an ear to the ground, so to speak. She was aware of what was going on. And we have it on all our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram.
Yeah, it was a great video.
And I went through and I actually highlighted what she was doing correctly. Mm-hmm. And it's just little things that you can implement into your daily lifestyle.
They're great things. It's a great video. You have really great points in there. Really small, basic things that people can do to make themselves not an attractive target, to keep themselves safe.
And this was a pretty girl. I mean, she was a hottie. Yeah. She was walking away from whatever. She was walking into her building that she was going to. And she was looking good. Looked like she was coming back from the club or something. But she was alone. And she didn't have a piece, she wasn't packing heat, from what I could see, or at least tell, but she had her phone and her keys. That's all she had on her person. But she made sure that she was owning her situation.
Yes.
And her,
she took control for her safety. Yeah. So. She did all the smallest things she did exactly right. And they're small, easy things that people can make a habit. So cool. Situational awareness, take a training class. Certainly, wherever you're at, you can Google gun safety training and find options. I'm sure if you go to the main websites for the NRA or anywhere else, you can funnel down to where there's training in your area. Usually for those, you're going to get the training they sponsor. But just do a basic search. So you have a recommendation of where women should go to do the best search for this type of stuff. Go ahead and share it.
I'm a USCCA certified instructor. I specialize in family and situational awareness. I'm also, basic handgun and all that good stuff. But like I said, I actually teach situational awareness classes free once a month. We do a Zoom and that's pretty much all it is. I mean, it's just getting the understanding, the knowledge, and skills and tactics. You don't have to act them out.
Awesome. So is that something that's on your website? Yeah, so your mom at arms. Is that something that's on your Mom at Arms website?
It's not. I offer it. I sometimes like promote it on there, but sometimes I don't. People are used to the trash talking on Mom at Arms than they are like seeing anything. But I'm actually restructuring the website a little bit. I'm about to offer more incentives as far as situational awareness for families, like worksheets for kids. Okay. And just stuff like that.
I'll push that out.
I'm working on it.
I got a pretty large following, especially on Parler. I'll push that out. I guarantee you, I know a lot of people would, especially with it being an online thing, I know that there are a lot of people that would be very interested.
Zoom. You can do it from your couch. Just wear pants and don't do any tubing.
Or don't, but just have the computer up higher, whatever.
I gotta punch out.
Yeah, just, if you do, don't make any noises. Well, I'm gonna mute you anyway, but I just don't want to see it.
All right.
Because that would be something I would post all over the internet.
Well, we got to wrap up here for our time. Thank you for being with us, Joe. But Phil, you got to take off, go to work. All right. Well, you got to take off. I'll close out with Joe here.
Thanks for hanging.
And,
okay. It was nice to meet you, Joe.
Nice to meet you, too.
See you Thursday.
We'll see you Thursday, Tom.
At that point, we'll be live again on Thursday, June 9th at 7 p.m. Central. On Thursday's show, I'm going to have a good Convention of the States update, where we're at on that, what states are closest to being flipped in terms of their state legislatures. And we're a lot closer than a lot of people realize. So Thursday, we'll have a detailed show on that. I got a lot of good information on that. But thanks for being with us tonight, Joe. Appreciate that. Again,
thank you for having me.
Let me know about your situational awareness classes, the online classes and stuff. I'll push it out. I know that there'll be a lot of people that'll take advantage of it. And definitely want to have you back again. So thank you. For those of you watching, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Please check out the show's website, rucksackradio.com. Thank you for supporting the show in all the ways you do. Friends, there's no substitute for educated and passionate patriots. Value our sacred principles of liberty and take action to preserve them. Honor to share your company. Rock on. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, a great hump day tomorrow. We'll see you on Thursday.